Greetings again. This is Brother Steve from the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. I want to just return to our meditations on the book of Nehemiah. We are going to be reading from chapter 5 of Nehemiah this time. I'm going to read a short section and make some comments, and then we'll come back again. Chapter 5 is talks a little bit about the condition of the people in the Judah. There was a lot of oppression of the poor there, and Nehemiah came in and straightened some of those things out. But verse 1 through 5, I'm going to read first. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, in the Jews, for there were that said, "We, our sons, and our daughters are many. Therefore, take up corn for them, that we may eat and live." Some also that were that said, "We have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses, that we might buy corn, because of the dearth." There were also that said, "We have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards." We see here how there was some of the rich in the land of Judah there were oppressing the poor by loaning them money on usury or interest and things like that. They were mortgaging their lands and vineyards, and they were making slaves out of their children. And we're going to go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35 through 41. We're going to see what God in the book of the law had told the children of Israel about this kind of oppression. Guys, in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35 and 41. "And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him," or interest is what that word usury means, "or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and give you the land of Canaan, and to be your God. And if thy brother that dwelleth by thee be waxen poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bondservant, but as a hired servant, and as a sojourner. He shall be with thee, and shall serve thee until the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family, and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return." We see here what God thinks of the oppression of the poor, and how when the rich people rule over the poor without any pay. Then also we will see in Paul himself in the New Testament gave us an example of that. Acts chapter 20, verse 33 to 35. "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yeah, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." This was Paul instructing, I think it was the Ephesians, before he left, the last time he saw them, telling them to make sure that they support the weak. And even so, I believe it is important spiritually, as we see in Romans chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Here again, he's encouraging us to bear the infirmities of the weak, but not to please ourselves, but to think of others, even as Christ himself gave us the example. Then we will read what Nehemiah's response was, verse 6. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself and rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brothers. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace, and found nothing to answer. And I said, it is not good that ye do what ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of God, because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact them money. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. And here we see again, verse 9, he talks about how it's a reproach of the heathen, our enemies. You know, the children, if God had set up a nation, and God's purpose for setting up a nation was to set up an example of how people ought to live and serve one another and support one another. And when there was all this oppression, the testimony of God was marred, and it was not a shining testimony as when God's people are supporting each other and helping one another, bearing the infirmities of the weak. Then in verse 11 to 13, the people respond to Nehemiah's request. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their oliveyards, and their houses, also the hundredth part of the money and of the corn, the wine and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them, so will we do as thou sayest. Then I asked the priests, and took an oath of them, that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord, and the people did according to this promise. There we see the response of the people as Nehemiah instructed them from the word of God, and how the people were willing to hear, and they were willing to leave off of the usury, and they were willing to relieve their brother of the debts that he owed, and whatever it was. Then in verse 14 through 19, we see how Nehemiah was willing to do the work that he was doing there without any pay. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year even unto the 2 and 30th year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine, beside 40 shekels of silver, yet even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I, because of the fear of God. And here he's saying how the governors before him were oppressing the people, taking their bread and wine and their money and ruling over the people. Yeah, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, besides those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days stores of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required not I the bread of the governor, because bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. And here Nehemiah is saying how he would have a right to be paid as the governor of Judah there, but he was willing to forfeit that right so that to relieve the bondage of the people. And even so, we see the same example of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 and following. I'm just going to read a few verses here, not all of them. Where it's written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And then he asks the question, doth God care for the oxen, or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Here Paul is making the point very strongly that he had all the right to come and require them to support him while he was preaching the gospel among them, yet he forfeited that right. He said, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And so Paul, even though he had a right to receive payment for what he was doing in the preaching and things, he did not take it so that the gospel would not be hindered. Then in verse 15, again he reminds them that, but I have used none of these things. Says verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Again, Paul is just saying how he has not used the power that he would have had to be supported, but he supported himself. Somewhere it talks about him being a tent maker. And also, Jesus Christ would be the greatest example of that, of giving up his rights so that others might live, so that to lift the oppression of others. He had all the right to stay in heaven where everything was perfect and beautiful and glorious, but he forfeited that right and was willing to come to the earth, not only come to the earth as a rich earthly king, but as a peasant baby, and eventually dying on the cross for our sins. So even so, it is important that we are willing to lay down our rights for the good of the whole group, or the good of the church, or the spreading of the gospel. That we are willing. Many pastors and teachers in our day are all about money and big crowds and things, and they measure their success by how many people they can get together and the size of the buildings and whatever. But we don't see that example in Jesus Christ or in Paul or any of the apostles. So let us live according to the scripture, giving up our rights for the sake of our brother. God bless you, and we will have some more tomorrow in the book of Nehemiah.